Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How do we find rest for our souls? Let me share a story with you. This comes from a missionary, and her name is Doris. And she and her family left their farm in Iowa to go to Nigeria. And then, having arrived at the mission field, since she'd worked at the newspaper back in Iowa, she started sending back columns describing things in Africa. One of the things she described was the resting posts, which would be erected, put in place along the trails in Nigeria. And, what were they for? She sends back and she writes, you know, folks in Africa, they carry very heavy burdens on their heads. It's not so hard carrying the burdens. The trick is getting them on and off without breaking your neck. I hadn't realized that, right? And so what they've done along the trails, if you're having to carry this from one town to another along the trail, there's a turn aside and they've erected a framework where you have uprights and parallel bars and you walk in between the bars and then you stoop down and leave your burden on those bars. You stay there for a while, you rest until you're ready to resume your travels, and then you go in under, and you stand back up under your burden and walk out and continue on your way. Pretty clever, right? And then, as a good missionary will do, she then makes the application, of course, right? Now, we have a wooden frame ourselves as Christians, don't we? And it is a place that we can call our resting place, and we can bring our burdens to that resting place. And you know the resting place, it's called the cross. But when we bring our burdens there, we don't go and set them down for a while and then, oh, I'll be back later on to take the burden back up again and walk along my life past the cross, do we? That's not the plan. Instead, God has invited us to bring our burdens, to put them there, to leave them there, to forget completely about them there, and to walk away free of those burdens. And it's designed that way because, well, who was it that takes our burdens, lifts them off of us, carries them along? And as he takes those burdens, he goes to the cross, bearing the burdens of sin, death, judgment, the breaking of the law, the separation from God, takes it all there. Like Paul says in one of his letters, nails it to the cross, and now it's gone. So this is the design. You want to talk about burdens? You want to talk about being heavy laden? Then you go again to that second lesson and you read Paul. And what is the burden he's carrying? He's carrying his old sinful self. He's carrying a dead man. Because that's what Paul is before the gospel. He's carrying a dead man. That's the same burden that I would be carrying. I'm carrying my old dead self along. So the image wraps around. Here's a dead man carrying a dead man. How's that going to work? How far am I going to get doing that? And that's why I need so desperately for the Son of God to come into this world and take the old sinful me, take the dead me, and carry me off. And I need for the Son of God to come into this world to bring me new life, which is what Jesus does. That's where I find my rest. But let's go deeper. There's that phrase in verse 29. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Another translation, meek and humble in heart. And it was a few years back, I ran into that, and lowly in heart kind of hit me between the eyes. Started asking questions about that. And the question went like this. When Jesus says, lowly in heart, is he talking about himself as a human being? Or as God? Or both? Why does that matter? Well, if it's only Jesus the human being for the time when he was doing the work of earning salvation, then he could step into this world and take on the characteristic of being lowly. And when he was done earning salvation, rose from the dead, ascended back up into heaven, then he could set aside this, all this being lowly and being humble, and he could go back to being proud and, you know, thinking of himself as the greatest and the highest and the most wonderful. Is that what he did? The phrase says, lowly in heart. So I started asking other pastors, reflect on that with me. And as we discussed it, this has to be talking about Jesus, the whole Jesus, who he is. This is what he is like. This is a characteristic of his personality, to be lowly. And now we're confronted with, we're talking about a lowly God, a humble God, the lowly and humble God. What sense does that make? Until you start running through some of the things he did, such as washing feet, which involves a basin of water and a towel around the waist and some really stinky feet, because they'd walk in sandals along the roads of Palestine. And you know, roads in Palestine in those days, it wasn't just the dirt. What else walked on those roads? The horses and everything else. And oh, now you've got quite a smell. And here's Jesus stooping down to wash his disciples' feet. Is this who he is? Or is he just putting this on for a little while? And then he gets up and says, now who is the greater, the one who sits at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And then he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We've got a Savior who is lowly, who is humble, who has decided from eternity that he is coming into this world to serve us. This is an amazing thing. So we come to church. Who's serving who here? It is God serving us. He will stoop down to bear our burdens, meet our needs, hear our prayers, tell us of his love, strengthen us spiritually, and if that's not enough, you know what else he does among us? He invites us to come to supper. And when he invites us to come to supper, who's the one who serves? Well, he is. And what is it that he serves? His own body and blood. We have the humble and lowly God. Before we go to the next step, you realize this means that we have the humble and lowly God who also happens to have all the power in the universe, who is able, with a word, to say, "Let there be light," and there is light. With another word to say, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man, he's got to come forth. Don't care that he is 4 days dead, that his body has begun to decay, that worms have begun to eat it. No, he's coming forth perfectly restored. That's the power of the Word of God, and this Jesus with the power of the Word of God nevertheless is the humble and lowly God. I'm thinking to myself, you know, only Jesus would be able to pull this off. Combining all the power in the universe and genuinely being humble and lowly. Oh, except for, where'd he learn it? From his Father. We have God who chooses to be humble and lowly and comes to us to treasure and value us, who created you, who when you had wandered off and gone far away from him, decided to send his Son into the world to bring you back. Now let me bring this back into what we were talking about. So you want to find rest. Go around the world. Look at any and all of the other religions of the world. And I'll tell you right now, any and all of them are like this. They claim that there is a God who demands to be served. The other gods of this world demand to be served, and sometimes they say that their followers must lay down their lives in service of that God. We, on the other hand, know how Christians have said this? And it has become a very common thing for Christians to say this. They say, your God demands to be served and sometimes demands that you die for him. My God came into this world to serve. He came into this world to die for me. Now, where are you going to find rest? If you go after those other gods, you will serve endlessly, and it will never be enough. Before the gospel, all there is trying to earn salvation. Back one more time to Paul. Paul, who, he lived the life of the Pharisee. He tried to do good works. He tried to earn his way into salvation, into heaven, into God's good favor. If the gospel had never come to Paul, he would still have been trying to earn his way into heaven. And here's the question that there never is an answer to. So if you're in a religion where you're trying to earn your way into heaven, how many good works do you have to do? and is it enough? There never is an answer to that question because it never is enough. And we have a Savior born into this world to bear our sins, to call us His own, to carry us out of death and into life, to give us forgiveness, to give us Easter and the resurrection and eternity. And He does all of this freely, by grace, simply because He loves you. And He calls you His own. And He wants you to be with Him for all eternity. Now there's where you can find rest for your souls. In Jesus' name, amen.